We should be going now, George. What is today? Tuesday, Wednesday? I don't even know when it's not football season. Usually football season is when I know what day of the week is.
Yeah, it's Tuesday afternoon, the deadest time in sports. It's July, 25th right now? So, yeah, there's not much going on.
That's why I don't know what day of the week it is. Usually, like, football season, you know when it's Monday night football, and then like the next day there's no football, and you're like, 2 days I'll have Thursday, and then you got college football Saturday and Sunday. You always know what day of the week it is. But this time of the year, it's just, it's another Mariners baseball game, or Seattle Mariners fans, or another MLB baseball game. That could be any day of the week, 7 days a week. That's pretty much all that's going on. Maybe some free agency stuff here and there in sports, but it is a bland time in sports, but we can always find topics and make ways for things to work, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, in general, being a slow time of a year, there's not much like to even talk about. So we make up shit, but we're good at that. We make up shit on the fly.
Technically, we're not making anything up. There are topics, but they are just nothing to do with the usual topics that we're talking about. I mean, like, we're just talking about some like in-game stuff. We're talking about money situation, trade scenarios, not really much on the field or on the court type of topics, which is a little bit of a change, I guess. But it's a fun time still. At least we get to talk about something. And there is a lot of random little topics. I know we have a lot of money topics today and trade topics. I guess even a soccer topic in the U.S., which is maybe the first time on this podcast, outside of like a World Cup type of topic, but like United States soccer. Have we ever talked about MLS on this podcast?
MLS, no, never. And I don't think we're going to be talking much MLS in the future, but hey, you never know with how the sports world moves.
Yeah, you never know with this whole Messi thing. But here we are. We got a couple topics, every sport. So stay tuned. And George, I'm just going to rock the intro really quick before we get going.
All right, love that.
This is the Sports on Tap Brothers podcast. George and Sammy want you to always remember, sports are fun. Let's rock.
For those watching on YouTube, you see our intros, or you might not see it. Depends if we have clips or the full podcast. But for those listening on audio or watching on YouTube, both ways, make sure you can always find us at this. All right. George is trying to take a picture of this phone, even though he knows it's broken. And we got a nice loud buzz.
Yep, we got a nice.
Were you trying to censor me? It sounded like a censor buzz. What was that?
Yeah, I didn't know what you were about to say, man. I thought you were about to say some ridiculous shit, so I tried to censor you. No, honestly, what I was trying to do is to see. I actually moved my whole entire screen so I can see you and look at the camera at the same time. And does it look like I'm looking at? Does it look like I'm looking away right now, or does it look like I'm looking at you when I'm talking right now? I'm asking you right now.
This is great podcasting content. It is. People, you look like you're looking at the ground. So.
Okay. So, all right. That did not work out. But yeah. So for those who don't know, usually Sammy sees me right on the screen, right? So like Sammy's computer sees him right away, but I have my camera up here, screen over here. So I was trying to find a way I can look at Sammy. So I feel like, if he does any facial expressions, I know how he feels. If he got a smile on his face, I can see that beautiful smile, but I guess not.
I guess not. Well, that's something, George, to tell the people you should set up before the pod if it really bothers you.
It doesn't bother me that much, but if I can make it better, I can make it better. If I can't, I can't. No big deal.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the piece of content of figuring out if George is looking at me or not looking at me. But that goes to the point of YouTube that I was trying to say before I got censored by your broken camera iPhone. If you are listening on podcast, you can find us at youtube.com/thesportsontap. Either clips, like each segment of the podcast will be uploaded, or the full podcast, depending on the day. But you can pretty much catch all our content at the Sports on Tap YouTube channel. Or if you're watching on YouTube, if you want to see the full podcast, of course, or see it, listen to a podcast, the Sports on Tap Brothers podcast. Today we have a soccer topic, an NFL topic, a baseball topic, and technically one that's like a mix of
all baseball, the sports, I guess. Yeah,
contracts. So a beautiful, as much as we just bitched about July having nothing, guess what? We're talking about a lot of sports.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the cool thing with the sports world. No matter what time of the year it is, there's always stories. Even if there's no games, there's always stories.
Yeah, there's always something. Do you want to pick the first topic of the day, or do you want me to pick it?
Go ahead and pick it, my man.
I want to talk about some of these insane contracts that are happening in sports. Today, we all have heard, this is not what the topic was about, but we'll talk about this maybe when we get to the soccer topic. Like, Mbappe got a contract offer from the Saudi Arabia team, whatever, Al-Halil, whatever it's called. $1 billion, which is 700 to him, 300 to the club as a transfer fee, yada, yada, yada. And then you start to think, like, where the fuck's all this money coming from in sports? And then you get to the NFL and you have guys like Justin Herbert now signing $250 million extensions. You go to the NBA and you have Jaylen Brown, who is, he's a two-time All-Star. I think he's not a superstar in this league. He's not ever going to be even in competition for an MVP award. Got it. The largest contract in history, 5 years, $305 million, I believe it was, 300 and something. At what point in life, I know there's inflation, I know things like, you know, go up in price, but at what point does it stop?
I don't know if it stops, really. I mean, I guess let's go back to this Mbappe topic for half a second, because Mbappe, like you said, could have the largest contract in history. I mean, if he does sign with Al Hilal, $750 million. We just had the largest contract in history of the NBA with Jaylen Brown. Justin Herbert, I believe, was that the largest contract in history of the NFL?
I know it's the largest quarterback one, so I'm assuming that means it is the largest.
It probably is. Yeah. And that brings me to what I want to talk about next. The next one is the largest baseball contract in history, and that's going to be Shohei Ohtani this offseason. So I don't know if it stops. Like, would you be absolutely shell-shocked if you saw Shohei Ohtani sign for a 14-year, $1 billion deal?
Yes. Billion's not happening.
Even 14 years.
Yeah, it's not. Okay. I mean, I think I've listened to a lot of the MLB Network guys, Jeff Passan, they're saying there's no possibility it surpasses like 600 to, like, the teams just aren't going to pay $1 billion. Okay. There's not a single team, including the Yankees, because he's also 31 or 30. So they're saying it's like, the max is maybe like a 10 to 12 year. And, like, you know, we might reach astronomical $600-700 million contracts. Mm-hmm. But I think it was reported that, like, it's pretty clear that there's no team that's going to be willing to pay more than the $600-700 million. I don't even think it's going to reach that. But if you're talking about astronomical numbers, $500 million is what I think it's going to be. And that's, I'm not going to be surprised. I think it's going to be 10 years, 11 years, like 550 or 600. And that's $500 million.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. So, I mean, your question is, when is it going to stop? It's not going to stop. Sports is proven to be a cash cow. Sure, at some point the growth is not going to be like hockey stick growth. It's going to cap out and grow slowly. But I mean, during our lifetime, man, we've seen when Alex Rodriguez signed a 10-year, $250 million contract for $25 million a year. That was the biggest contract in history of sports. And now we're getting contracts double it. And Kylian Mbappe might sign for $750 for one season. Like, come on. It's just not, there's never going to be an end to it, especially, like you said, inflation, economy. At one point, these numbers are just going to reach astronomical levels that we probably don't even fathom.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, we're, like you just said, we're talking about a $700 million soccer contract. Yeah. We're talking about $305 million, the largest NBA ever. $262 million for Herbert, which it is not the largest ever, but it might be close to the largest per year. Because I know, like, Mahomes is at, like, was at, like, the 7-8 year, 300 something, right? He had a bigger, he stayed longer. Herbert got 5 years, 260. So it might be the most per year. I know he's number one per year quarterback. And then you're talking about baseball, guaranteed, no question about it, whatever it is, whether it was 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever, $100 million, $1 billion, no matter what happens, the Shohei Ohtani deal is going to be the largest of all time. So within this next, within 2023, you're going to see in every major sport the largest contract in history. And at some point, I think it does have to stop at some point. But to your point, like, if the leagues keep making more money, like, what is that stopping point? Like, or where would it ever make sense? Maybe it makes sense when there's not a next Shohei Ohtani, and then that one stays the highest ever for 20, 30 years. But in the other sports, there's salary caps and it keeps going up. So at some point, or like the, whatever, like the market cap goes up too. So, like, it's not the Boston Celtics choice that they gave Jaylen Brown $305 million. It's the fact that that's what he was eligible due to the what do you call it? Like, due to the player agreements or whatever. CBA.
But yeah, but I mean, just to like kind of wrap up this topic quickly, I want to say, at some point, teams are not going to just give the max CBA contract because he is eligible for the max CBA contract. At some point, they're going to be like, well, it's not worth it.
That's why I'm saying it's got to stop at some point. But so far, we haven't seen any evidence of teams saying, like, you know what? We don't want to give you the max, because I think as of right now, the numbers are still, I hate to say the word reasonable about a $300 million contract for.
It's not reasonable for Jaylen Brown. I'll tell you that.
It's not, but it is, because guess what? If he said, okay, you're not signing, like, the Knicks would pay him that. So would the Lakers. So would many other teams. The Miami Heat would say, sure. I think the number's reasonable enough where teams have the money that they would still say yes. Now, if we ever get to that point where the CBA keeps going up and it's like a guy like Jaylen Brown's $100 million a year, then a team like the Celtics might say, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, our tickets are going to have to be cheapest ticket to get in is going to have to be $500 every year. That's the problem, too. At what point does this affect the fans? And it already has, but like, at what point is it like, I can't buy these tickets anymore because you're paying these players this much, and the ticket prices, you know, upper left field or upper bleachers in a basketball game or wherever is like $500. Like, that's also a concern of mine future wise.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with you on that, but I just don't see a stop to this, especially as money in general has become more abundant in this world and everyone is spending money left and right in every industry.
But you just said you do. I'm trying to make sure I get what you're saying, because you did just say I see a stop because there's a point where teams are not going to pay these guys.
No. I'm saying there's a point where not every person who's eligible for a max contract is going to get the max contract. But that doesn't mean that, like,
that doesn't mean the best player won't, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Oh, I mean, okay.
Like a 2-time All-Star in Jaylen Brown, who's third team NBA, will not get the max. At some point, teams will say, no, you're not getting the max
contract. You're talking about the Jaylen Brown.
Yes.
Yeah. Like
Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama. Yeah. If he's eligible for a max, he's getting the max. Yeah. He's going to be the biggest one in history.
Well, let's not use him as an example because he might be a bust.
Well, I'm just
LeBron
saying,
James, 2012 LeBron James. If the CBA max was $500 million, yes, he would have got $500
million. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm just using Victor because in 5 years from now, the max will be larger than the max is today if he's good.
Yeah, and if he's not better than Jaylen Brown, we have an issue. So
exactly,
we'll talk about one more thing really quickly. Is just the Justin Herbert. I think that's also an interesting example because quarterbacks, you need a quarterback, but like, is Justin Herbert's not the best quarterback to be paid like the best quarterback? Some might say he's overrated. Wink, wink.
He's a social media superstar.
Although he's very quiet on social media, and he's very
quiet. No. I mean, he's a darling of Twitter.
He's like the John Morant.
Yeah, but he's doesn't really like show off guns and stuff.
Okay, so the Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose. That's not bad. Okay, yeah. But yeah, I like Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert's a great quarterback. I just don't think he's a Mahomes Burrow yet. Now, could he be that? Yeah, absolutely. Could he deserve this contract? Sure. But right now, I just feel like, I mean, he's what he's eligible for. He was going to get it. But my thing with him is like, at what point are you just like, well, let me see something first and then sign you to this?
Yeah, like, what's your next fucking contract if he also, like, does well? Like, this is what I don't understand with the...
Well, like, well, okay, at some point this year, the Chargers are going to struggle. I mean, they're going to blame it on Brandon Staley. Even they're going to bring in a new offensive coach next year. And then what? How if he struggles then? I mean, right now, everything he does bad, Justin Herbert, is based on, oh, Brandon Staley's an idiot. So let's see. Is Brandon Staley an idiot, or is Justin
Herbert? Even though they made the playoffs last year, but I'm not really sure why that keeps happening. But yeah, I actually don't understand. Like, every struggle gets blamed on his coaches and never him, unlike most quarterbacks. Like, so it's intriguing. It's also a bad franchise. So
that too, horrible franchise.
Yeah. Well, one day in conclusion, this should stop, but I guess it's not. It looks like we're going to be waking up one day in 20 years and see guys like Jaylen Brown and be like, oh, he signed an 8-year, $1 billion contract. And I'd be like, what the fuck? I'm in the wrong industry. I should have been 6'9 and athletic.
I'll tell you one thing. You're not in the wrong industry. You're just the wrong size.
Correct. I'm not 6'9 and athletic is the issue. All right. Well, on to the next topic here, and I keep clicking out. I'm sorry, because Apparently my mouse connected to my iPad instead of my computer.
I was wondering what's going on there.
Let's just add to that really quick before we get to like the soccer and baseball topics. Let's just talk about the running backs.
Okay.
Because we just talked about money and quarterbacks and teams and whatnot. Let's talk about the running back situation in the NFL. Every running back complains that they don't get paid enough. And I think it starts there. That's where the conversation starts. They all complain that getting paid $7, $8 million is not being compensated enough. Right? That's where they all start.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, they're a commodity, right? The NFL is now a passing league. Running backs also, like, go look at who's the best running backs on the last major Super Bowl champions. Like, it's all journeymen. You do not need a good running back to be a good team. And I'm sorry, I love Saquon Barkley, but even $11 million for Saquon Barkley is overpaid. Christian McCaffrey at $16 million is overpaid. Unless they stay healthy. Like, what have these running backs done? If your favorite team, let's say we're Seahawks fans, let's say Kenneth Walker in a few years wants a $13 million contract. I mean, would you really want to use $13 million of cap space on a running back? No, you don't.
But I think you're not seeing it on like both sides here, because that it depends on the running back for the team as well, right? Like Kenneth Walker to the Seahawks is not as valuable as Saquon Barkley to the Giants. When Saquon Barkley, if you ask me, Saquon Barkley is not able to play this year for the Giants. They are a bad football team. Daniel Jones is not the same quarterback. Mm-hmm. They're not the same football team. Now, that doesn't apply maybe to Patrick Mahomes or a team that has an extremely good quarterback. Now, that's where it gets tricky. Now, I agree with you. It's a lot of money to pay a running back. So I'm not disagreeing with that. But I think also there are situational – it's like, yes, the goal is to win a Super Bowl, but you also don't want your team to be bad. So it's kind of a complicated. Like the Titans, they would not have been the same team over the last 10 years without – or 5 years, whatever, without Derrick Henry.
Yeah, and he's paid pretty well.
Yeah. But I'm not saying he's complaining about his contract. I'm saying that for him, like, they would not be the same team if they didn't pay Derrick Henry. But at the same time, you're right. It has not equated to anything, right? There hasn't been a team since maybe the Seahawks with Marshawn Lynch in 2013 where I can remember like a star. And he wasn't like a superstar, star running back on a team. I can't remember one since then.
So
you're right. At the same time, you're right. I'm just saying that it depends on, like, the Giants could be bad if they don't have Barkley. Is that what they want? Or you overpay him?
But Barkley is probably, what, the third, fourth, fifth best running back in the league. The drop-off between the fifth best running back in the league and the 20th best running back in the league is so minuscule.
No, it's
that
not.
Doesn't. Oh, it really is. If you go look for the yards per carry, the two running back system, it is. That's why running backs now have a shorter shelf life, one. Two, they're more replaceable. We already seen the Cowboys. Zeke Elliott is a great example of overpaying your running back and now being regretted. Like, there's a reason teams are doing this. I'm not saying it's fair.
You're talking about when he got bad. I'm talking. We're like, there was a difference when he was good and he was getting paid.
How long the running backs are good, though? That's the problem. Like,
I agree,
it's hard to sign a 5-year contract.
That has nothing to do with saying the drop off part, because Christian McCaffrey, like Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, those 3-4 guys. There is a difference between those guys in the fifth and sixth.
And then Kenneth Walker, who's probably the 20th best running back in the league.
Yeah, there's a big difference, but there's not a big difference.
Is it a big difference for the team? You really think it's a huge difference between...
Yes.
I'm talking about money difference. Would you rather pay Kenneth Walker or get a rookie running back and draft a rookie running back?
I'm not talking about money for a second.
Because I'm using money correlation of how much you're spending to how much you're getting. So, like, if you're going to take how much you're spending to how much you're getting between the paying the fifth, the top five running back, $11 million, or the 20th running back, $2
million? I know, but that's not what you said. So, I was answering what you said. You said there is not a huge drop-off, and, like, it doesn't matter. I was just answering, the point of there is a drop-off. Like, you said there is not a huge drop-off between the second or third best running back in the NFL versus the 20th. And I'm saying there is a huge difference between those guys. Now, money to correlation to production, that's a whole different topic. But like, in terms of, is there a huge difference between Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and Derrick Henry versus like the 30th best running back in the NFL? Yes. But I was agreeing at the same time that doesn't equate to Super Bowls right now, which is the issue, right? So now there is a huge difference. I think the Giants would not have been the same team. We actually saw it the years prior when he was hurt with Daniel Jones. The team kind of sucked. Obviously, new coaches, all those things play a role. But even, you know, there's a reason. The 49ers and their whole offices, they are way smarter than us about football. And there's a reason they traded for Christian McCaffrey with the $16 million contract. We're not smarter than them, right? So
I'm not claiming to be smarter than them. I'm just saying in general.
As I'm saying, there's a big difference between those top three or four guys production-wise versus like the other guys. But like
I would say like
between the money correlation, you know what I mean? Yeah,
I guess. I don't know. I kind of disagree with you, but that's totally cool. My thing is the 20th best running back I went by stats. Let's go by stats was Alvin Kamara. The fifth best running back in NFL.
Yeah, but he didn't play a lot of games.
Was my you know who was the fifth leading rusher in the NFL last year?
Who?
Miles Sanders. You know who was the sixth?
Who?
Dalvin Cook. What did both of those teams do? Miles Sanders, they let him walk for free. Dalvin Cook, they cut him. That says correct. A lot to me.
But that has nothing to do with, once again, are they better than the 20th? We're talking about two-way different things.
I'm saying there's a drop-off. I just don't think there's a huge drop-off, especially if you're doing a running back by
committee. There is. If a team could take Christian McCaffrey for $1 million or $2 million or three, even more than the 25th guy, they would pay the $3 million. The problem is that the top running backs want like 9, 10, 11 more million than the 25th guy. And that's where like it's two different topics, right? Because it's the same thing. I think with a lot of receivers, even in every position in football, maybe outside of quarterback, is there's a huge difference between what's your production difference if you were the same price versus if you're different prices, right? So just like any sport. Now, Christian McCaffrey, if you go to all-purpose yards, if you go to like a lot of these players, all-purpose yards, there's a couple running backs. Those guys you just named in the top six in rushing are the top five or six guys in the NFL. The problem is what you said, is that they want $10, $11 million versus the 25th guy you can get for like $1 million. Now that's the huge problem is like but
once again, do you think there's a huge drop off for teams saying, you know what, I'll get rid of Dalvin Cook, I'll get rid of Miles Sanders, and I'll go get the 25th running back. Like we saw the Eagles do it. They got rid of Miles Sanders and went and got Rashad Penny, who's probably the 35th best running back in the NFL. And they had a top five rusher and they get him for like a third of the price. Is there that huge of a drop off for the team production wise?
There might be. If they don't make the Super Bowl next year, they had a little bit of a worse year and they paid their quarterback $250 million. And if they are worse at rushing next year and they lose in the first round of the playoffs, you can make an argument. And I'm not like the most pro pay running backs guy. I'm just saying that you can make an argument that it's not the best idea. We saw with our Seattle Seahawks, okay? This is the main point I want to make.
Okay, give it to me.
We watched Marshawn Lynch and having a great run game and great offensive line with a young quarterback change our franchise's history by winning a Super Bowl. Good defense, good running game, good offensive line. And then when we paid a quarterback and we've for the last 10 years we've been platooning running backs, it hasn't been the same. And the problem is, once again, which is the main point that you're right about. Yeah, the main point, though, which you're right about, is there's not that much of a difference between the 20th and the fifth guy, sure, but there is maybe that much of a difference like in terms of the production. But when you're paying them $10 million more, then like, no, it's not worth it. So I think that they're, what do they call it? You're stuck between a rock and a hard place, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the situation for running backs, because as running backs, you can look at the team and say, hey, like, I'm better than this guy. I have more yards. I was this productive. And they're like, okay, but I can get two running backs for $8 million this year, right? And you're going to cost me 12 and a half. So, like, can I try to make up at least 80% of what you did into two guys? And if the answer is yes, it's really fucking hard for the team to look at the situation and say, let me pay this guy 12. Right.
Exactly. That's exactly what I mean by that was my point. There's not a huge drop off. That's my point right there.
Because you were talking about like with correlation to the contracts.
No,
right?
Even correlation to like to probably how many yards per rush the team gets and how many rushing yards the team gets. It's really not that much difference between the 20. If you got the 20th running best running back and the 47th best running back, platoon those guys, they're probably banking the same production as the fifth best running back.
I honestly want to look at running back yards now. This is like 22. Cause like, is it like the best guys in the league up there or not? That's the, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like,
is it those guys or is it not?
I don't know. Josh Jacobs led the league in rushing, but like for me, it's like Jacobs, Henry, Chubb were the top three, then Saquon Barkley, Miles Sanders, Dalvin Cook, Justin Fields, then Christian McCaffrey. But if you go down to like the 20th best, I know, seriously. You had Kamara, Mostert from Miami, Ezekiel Elliott, Jonathan Taylor, Jeff Wilson, San Francisco and Miami, Pacheco from Kansas City, who won the Super Bowl. Like, you got guys there. Like, Damian Pierce was the 17th best on a rookie contract at 939 yards. But the difference between first, like, between the fifth running back, which is Miles Sanders with 1,269 yards, and to the 20th running back in Alvin Kamara of 900 yards is 300 yards.
See, the
running backs are just not getting they're not used as much anymore.
Okay, but see, this is why it's so complicated. You're right. I'm not saying you're wrong, but like, if we just look at it, like, we're talking about, there is a difference between Josh Jacobs having 1,600 yards on the year and Ezekiel and having, let's use a guy that's like Pacheco having 830. That's double the amount of yards. Okay. And there's a difference between that.
Totally.
Those top five guys, top six, the top six before you get to Justin Fields are like five or six of the best running backs. And they're clearly better than a lot of these other running backs on the list. But to your point, why it's difficult for running backs is because if you're Josh Jacobs and you say, dude, I had 120 yards more than any running back in the league, and I'm above Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, all these people. And then you go to the bottom of the list and those guys aren't as good as them. Not even a debate. But to your point, then again, you'll be like, huh, the Vegas Raiders, they missed the playoffs. Derrick Henry, Tennessee, they weren't very good. Nick Chubb, Cleveland, weren't very good. Saquon Barkley.
There you go. Saquon made the playoffs.
Miles Sanders, Super Bowl. Dalvin Cook, playoffs.
Yeah,
very important. Etienne, very important to the team.
Yeah, but so those guys you just said, though, which is funny to me, is that the Miles Sanders, the team was like, yeah, you can leave as a free agent. Dalvin Cook, they cut him. And
McCaffrey got traded midseason also.
And McCaffrey got traded midseason also. And Etienne's on a rookie contract, so it makes perfect sense. A rookie, by the way.
Number 11 after Etienne is Jamal Williams. Detroit let him walk as well.
Yeah, exactly. Detroit. If I was a team, I would be drafting running backs. Like the Seahawks just did every year. First round, second. I'd be loading up on running backs, running them like all the time, and then just keep replacing them with new talent. That's what I would do.
Now, that like overall, I think like the one difference that we see between this is I do think there is a drop off between those top 5 to 10 guys. I think it's a serious drop off, but I think you can make it up with two people for half.
Yeah. And that's what a lot of teams are doing now too.
Like Pacheco is not as good as Miles Sanders and Josh Jacobs. It's not even close, right?
No, it's not even close.
Kenneth Walker is not our running back for the Seahawks. He's not as good as some of these top five guys.
But you know what? But maybe having Kenneth Walker and Chardonnay and Kenny McIntosh is better than having Josh Jacobs.
Well, yeah, having all of them for $5 million might be better than having Josh Jacobs for 1 year, 10, 11 million. Yeah,
maybe. I mean, I'm not saying for sure.
You signed an offensive lineman also. Now those running backs are better.
Right.
That's
and
where
running backs get hurt a lot tough. Too, which is that's a harsh reality.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, the one that I'm not very anti, and I'm glad he got paid, is Saquon Barkley. I do think he makes.
And he kind of got paid, right? Yeah, one year,
$10 million. I mean, he just honestly, as a running back, the best thing you can do right now is take a contract and hope you don't get hurt. And if you play really well, you might get another 1 year, $10 million, rather than signing like a 3 year, $8 million. Like what Saquon did is if once again, he has another great season, the Giants get better again this year, they'll probably maybe pay him for one more year and see what happens. And if not,
that's a good point.
On to the next one. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do.
Exactly. No, that's fair.
It sucks for them, to be honest, but it's business. So
yeah, no, it does suck for them. But yeah, what can you do?
two more quick topics today, George. Let's do a baseball one for fun. And we'll end with soccer just because whatever. We're just going in order of like sports here. Shohei Ohtani. Let's just start with this. Like, it's like the, it sounds like it should be the dumbest question in the history of sports, but it's a reality is, should the Angels trade him or not? I mean, they're only a couple games out of the playoffs. So,
I mean, it depends. Unless you have like a verbal agreement that he's going to stay on the team, you got to cash in when you can cash in. The guy is so talented. They have, man, if you're an Angels fan, imagine it's, they remind me so much of the Mariners, where we had Alex Rodriguez and Ken Griffey Jr. and couldn't win a World Series. This is even worse.
They made the playoffs.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this is even worse. They have Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, and they can't even make the playoffs. Like, yeah, you're a fan of the Angels, you got to be feeling really shitty.
Yeah, it sucks. One is you're in the race still is the problem. Two is, like you said, unless you have a verbal agreement, if you don't have a verbal agreement from him, you're like, fuck, we should cash in. But number three, the problem is, teams aren't going to give up that much right now unless they have a verbal agreement from Shohei Ohtani. You can't trade draft picks in baseball. Like, what is valuable
Colin
to the
Cowherd
Angels?
Seems like you thinks you can.
I mean, honestly, that's how I learned you can.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Thanks for saying that, because that's how everyone learned. Because everyone's like, idiot. Like, I don't. Most people did not know.
The only people that I know that are like the John Boy type of talking baseball, like they're experts at baseball, right? Jeff Passan knows. The experts know. But if you talk all sports, or you're like, you're a Stephen A. Smith type of guy, Stephen A. Smith probably didn't know that either. So that's tough. If you can't get draft picks, like, what the fuck are you going to get for him? Like, the Yankees aren't going to trade. And even
Jason
if they
Dominguez.
Did, okay, they might.
Actually. No, they won't. They would not trade Jason Dominguez for 1 year of Shohei Ohtani.
Okay, fair. Maybe they won't. And but even if they did, what if he doesn't pan out? And then it's like, oh, we traded Shohei Ohtani for a
well, Jason it doesn't Dominguez matter at that point. If you know he's moving on for sure and he's not re-signing, whatever you get, you take a flyer with, right?
I guess.
If
I
you know he's not staying. But if there's even
they don't
a glimmer.
Know
yeah, if there's even a glimmer, this little, of hope, and it's 0.1% that Shohei Ohtani is going to stay with your franchise, you just do all you can to make him happy. Go trade. Be a buyer at the deadline and find a way to convince him to stay after. Like, if there's any hope of him staying.
Yeah, and if there's not, you know what I'm doing, George?
Right. Just write it out, actually. See if you win the World Series.
No. I'm saying if he's not resigning.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm trading him and I'm trading Mike Trout. I know it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know it sucks for Angels fans. Mike Trout resigned there. He obviously, there's no reason not to want to live in.
I don't know if you can trade that Mike Trout contract for $400 million.
You could. If you called the Yankees today and you're like, give us like five good prospects, we'll give you Trout and Ohtani. They'd be like, yep.
Maybe the Yankees,
maybe in the Mets, the Dodgers, you know, but they wouldn't trade to them. Like, yeah, it just depends on the team. If you're cheap, like if you're like the Brewers or the Seattle Mariners, they're gonna say no. But if you're like the Padres, I don't know, actually it's not working out for them, but I don't know, there's a team that would say yes to Mike Trout, even though he gets hurt every year. But in those, somebody they'll say yes to Shohei Ohtani. But if Ohtani's not re-signing, you gotta just blow this whole shit up, bro.
Like, I agree. Couldn't agree more.
He is the best player in the history of baseball, without a doubt. Can I read you something? I wasn't planning on this, but I just remembered it's on my phone.
Sure.
Okay. This was like 2 days ago, so it's probably not accurate for today, but it was accurate 2 days ago. Their first 674 games, Babe Ruth had 159 home runs, 674 games. 159 home runs. Ohtani has 160. Win losses. Ohtani is 35-19. Babe Ruth was 35-18 with 455 innings pitched, and Ohtani has 455 innings pitched. He is one home run more and one loss more on his pitching than Babe Ruth. Exact stats minus one loss and one home run added for Ohtani in their first 674 games. And that's in an era now. And I'm like, no offense to Babe Ruth in the 1900s, bro, but I'm sure it's harder to hit it. I'm sure there's better pitching talent and batting talent right now.
Yeah, I mean, remarkable numbers. He's a modern-day Babe Ruth. He's the most talented baseball player we'll ever see in our whole entire life. And overall, whoever wins the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes is going to be really, really lucky. I know the Mariners were in that sweepstakes last time around, and but hey, we might be in the sweepstakes this time around. He does like the city of Seattle, and whether baseball fans believe it or not, Ichiro does have some influence on current Japanese players.
Well, Ohtani's translator also lives in Seattle in the offseason and is grew up a Mariners fan.
Yeah, okay. No, there's some influence there, so it makes me excited, but I'm not going to get my hopes up.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about this a lot more, too, I'm sure, coming up soon on our Sports on Tap Seattle podcast. So if you like Mariners or Seahawks, if you're here from Seattle stuff, you might know. But if not, we have a podcast there, Sports on Tap Seattle. The only issue is the Mariners are slowly collapsing, it feels like, right now in the season, and that will probably not help because Shohei Ohtani is probably one of his main priorities, as he said, is winning. And I'm sure if he gets the same contract from the Dodgers or the Giants and they're in the playoffs and the Mariners are five games below 500, he's probably not picking Seattle.
Probably not. Probably not. Unfortunately. Yep.
Yeah. Sadly. All right. Well, I guess before we move on from that topic, I just have one question.
What's up?
What is your main prediction? Like if somebody said right now you have to risk all your money on one main prediction, like what is it for Shohei Ohtani?
Shohei Ohtani will be a New York Yankee.
Like via trade, via free
agency? No. He's going to finish the season with the Angels and will be signing with the New York Yankees as a free agent next offseason.
Well, all right. I think he's on the West Coast no matter what happens.
Okay, fair.
There's five cities, I think, that have a chance to sign him because they are all close flights to Japan. It's a place that he could consider living in the offseason and during the season, and that's Seattle, San Francisco, Anaheim, Los Angeles, and San Diego.
Yeah,
those are all close flights to Japan. They're all where he's used to. I think San Diego and LA are very strong candidates, but I'm making a bold prediction that he's going to be a San Francisco Giant next year.
Yeah, well, we'll see with Ohtani. They do have a good Chinatown, which he's not Chinese, but at least they have Asian food. Like, I mean, they have a good Asian culture there.
It's close flight to Japan. The good thing for Ohtani is they got a good Chinatown.
Well, but yeah, Chinatown usually is all international Asian market, so it's not just Chinese.
It was good.
Okay.
All right, last topic is Lionel Messi is in the United States, and I'm going to say something, George, before we even start, because I gave you this hot take. This is a flaming hot take by Sammy. Before the start of the podcast is, at first I thought this was good for soccer. Now I'm wondering, is Messi embarrassing United States soccer in the MLS? He came in off the bench and scored a goal in his first game to win. Seemed pretty fucking easy for him. Mm-hmm. And then today, I think they won 4-0. He had two goals, correct?
Two goals and an assist.
In 22 minutes. Two goals in the first 22 minutes. This in some way, I know it's good for MLS soccer because like people are watching his games, but can this have a negative effect also that like he walked in and he played like what in the last like 20 minutes of the last game and scored a goal and then played 22 minutes today and had his first two goals in 22 minutes? Like, it's kind of embarrassing for the MLS.
Yes, it's a little bit embarrassing. I mean, you can take that part. That's one of the cons and shows that the league is not that strong. But in general, now that I think about it, like United States in general, Americans want, what do they like? They like scoring. If they know this guy's coming in scoring goals, they might tune in. And tuning into the sport can only grow the sport because like the people, casual fans, but how does a fan become a fan? They start watching something casually. They start falling in love with it. They get more into it. They go more into it. They get more into it. And they become a fan. So, like, that's like what the MLS is banking on. So maybe Messi scoring a shit ton of goals is good because Americans like scoring. That's the one thing. Every time you talk to an American, like, oh, man, I like soccer. What do they say? Oh, you like the 0-0 ties? That's like the first thing they say. Like, no, obviously we all like goals. We all like scoring. So having Messi in there, maybe scoring every single game. I mean, he's been a favorite both games to score more than not score, which is crazy in soccer. So maybe just having him going in there, scoring goals will grow the sport long-term in the United States, but short-term it's bad for the players of MLS.
Or I'll make more really good players say, fuck it, I'm going to go to the MLS, like try to get a $50 million a year deal and just like score hella goals. But I don't know. Honestly, like
his kit sold out, by the way, already.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, he's fine for the business. But I'm now talking about the rest of the business. Like, this might give you less incentive to tune into a LA Galaxy versus Seattle Sounders game because you're like, right, these guys fucking suck. Like, Messi played them last week and scored 4 goals in 12 minutes. Like, these guys suck. But
it goes to show how much better he is than everyone else. And like how actually, like, you're right. If we're going to look at the bad things for Major League Soccer, like how far behind this league is from the elite leagues in the world.
Yeah. Miami was the worst team in the entire MLS. And they've won 2 straight since he's been there. They won 4-0 today.
Yeah. Cause they have now the best player in the States, I guess is the best way to say it.
Yeah, or in the world, I guess.
Or in the world. I don't know if he's still the best. He's gotten a little bit older, but he's one of the best still.
Yeah, same shit, though. He's good.
He's still good,
It's like calling LeBron the best in the world. Like, okay, maybe not right this second, but you're still the best. Like,
whatever. Exactly.
You know, like, hypothetically speaking. Well, we'll see. I don't know. I think it's going to be good for his game ratings. I think we're going to see a big spike in, like, viewership. I'm just very interested to see George long-term, like, what does this do for the whole MLS? Like, are other games now watched less? Like, what the look at these shitty players?
Yeah, it's very. I know it is possible though. So we'll see how he reacts. I do got one little short topic for you if you want me to end this conversation today. Actually, you know what? Let's leave it for the next podcast. I screenshotted it. Tune into the next podcast for the all name college football team. Like, who has the best names per position in college football coming up this year?
All right. Stay tuned.
Do you know what I mean by that?
They shouldn't have said that because I know they're going to look up that tweet now. But
shit.
Stay tuned. We're going to talk about it. But now you know it's a search because it's probably something George just saw on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw it earlier today, but I forgot to screenshot it. So I have to look it up.
Okay. I'll try to censor out that part. Stay all tuned right for the beep next week or next episode, whatever. It might not be next week, but you know what I mean. All right. Much love. If you guys are always wondering, I'm Sammy on tap, S-A-M-I.
I'm George on tap, how you spell George, not Jorge.
Yeah, unfortunately, yours is a little easier. I got to say S-A-M-I, Sammy on tap. Sammy and George, two brothers, talking sports. This is the Sports on Tap's Brothers podcast, and we'll be back soon. And George, you know what we like to say, right?
Yeah, thank you for stopping by.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
This is the Sports on Tap Brothers podcast. George and Sammy want you to always remember, sports are fun. Let's rock.